to investigate vaccine hesitancy?
I'm a philosopher of medicine and a philosopher of science, so I investigate all kinds of interesting issues with philosophical dimensions in healthcare. So vaccine hesitancy was a good contender. When I started this research, as a side interest in around 2011, but eventually picked up steam, pediatric vaccines were what everyone talked about. And it presented an interesting question, especially around vaccine hesitancy among parents in industrialized nations like Canada. Because in countries like ours, you've got easy access to vaccines. They are widely available. We've got the strong scientific consensus. Some of these vaccines have been used for decades. And a lot of communications directed at the public about how important they are and why parents should vaccinate their kids. So the question is, why isn't everyone convinced by that? What is it that makes some parents still unwilling to vaccinate their kids in the face of a very strong argument in favor? And when I started researching this, I assumed, and I think most people assume this, that there's something about scientific understanding that's the problem here, that somehow people just don't get it. And if they understood the science or got that key piece of convincing evidence, then they would change their minds around vaccines. So I was committed to figuring out what was that missing piece of information. And a little research into the topic made me realize that my assumption was wrong, and therefore my question wasn't a good one. It is not some scientific misunderstanding that drives vaccines. In fact, many vaccine hesitators are very well educated. There's no correlation between education levels and vaccine hesitancy. Instead, vaccines are very politicized, as we know. That's why it's in the news all the time. Vaccines have been shaped as sort of a signal of how much people trust the system, by which I mean the healthcare system, the government, all the institutional structures that are in place to deliver vaccines and vaccine policies to us. The extent to which you trust that system is a good measure of how much you trust vaccines and how likely you are to accept vaccination as a good health decision.
Right. So quite a lot to untangle there. When it comes to the politicization of vaccines, what led to that?
What led to it is one is that vaccines are usually, or let's say, are very often tied to legal requirements. So they have been in the past during emergencies. Smallpox vaccine mandates were very rigorous in some countries, that where people were vaccinated at gunpoint. Luckily, we don't live in that kind of extreme public health circumstances anymore. But to the extent to which sometimes people need to be vaccinated to get their kids in school or to work in healthcare, that is a political flashpoint for a lot of people. And vaccines make people uncomfortable. Until recently, vaccines involved introducing a dangerous pathogen into an otherwise healthy body. And now with our mRNA vaccines, we don't need to do that. Vaccines were seen as dangerous, and preventive health care doesn't get the same kind of compliance that treatment does. So sometimes people agree to dangerous treatment, but not dangerous prevention. Most of our vaccines until COVID, at least the ones tied to mandates, were targeted at children. And that elicits all kind of emotional responses, because that sort of protective instinct and that worry that we're potentially harming children is a difficult burden for parents to bear.
Right. And in particular, that aspect, what did you learn about, you know, the ways in which vaccines for children ended up, you know, just causing so much panic and sometimes fear?
Parents are put in a difficult position. It's usually mothers. I'd like to talk about mothers. Mothers make most of the healthcare decisions around kids. There's a lot of mother blaming when mothers are perceived as not doing the job well. So the stress around vaccines have built and built and built to a very difficult proportion, where a lot of very well-intended mothers will say, I hear competing views on vaccines and I don't know what to do. And they feel they feel stuck, and they feel like perhaps the public health recommendations are not entirely honest. There's worries about industry influence on our healthcare system, and that is quite a pervasive view. And just the worry that if they get it wrong, they'll be blamed for it. So when you're put under that kind of stress, it's easy to make bad decisions, as easy as it is to make good decisions, I should say. So I start with a much more charitable reading of the difficulty of making that decision. Surely it's an easy decision for some people, but not for everyone.
Not to mention, there's also the role of race and unconscious bias here. How might that affect vaccine hesitancy?
I think it's got a big part in it. So an interesting phenomena when I was researching pediatric vaccines is first was this idea that it's a science problem, which I told you doesn't pan out. So there's something curious about why that theory still persists. But I don't think we're going to get into that. The second is a widespread belief that it is largely white affluent people that are vaccine hesitant. So if you say vaccine hesitant, at least prior to COVID, people would say, oh, those, you know, coastal Californian type people, natural living. And that was curious to me because as I started to build the theory that it's got more to do with trust than a problem with science or entitlement, I wonder why it would be that affluent people would be less trusting of vaccines than people who have historically not trusted healthcare. So it's well known, it's well studied that racialized people and racialized communities are less trusting of healthcare. They have reasons for that. They've got historic and present experiences of health injustice and medical racism that continues to this day. Because of that, these bad experiences, it makes, let's say, Black Canadians and Indigenous Canadians especially less likely to pursue healthcare and certainly less likely to trust it when it's offered to them. And we are seeing this in COVID. So COVID's a little different because the sort of racial dimensions of vaccine hesitancy came out. There was recognition early on that that within the communities that were most impacted by COVID, and I'm referring to racialized communities and immigrant communities, they were also the most resistant to this future COVID vaccine. It didn't exist yet. And that sort of changed the discussion, and this sort of trust issue comes up. And if you listen to the narratives of racialized Canadians that are vaccine hesitant, they say things like, we don't trust the government. We don't want to be guinea pigs for medical experimentation. And of course, some of them can point to historic cases where their communities were treated as such. They also say, where was the government when our community was struggling during COVID, and now you want to give us a vaccine? Why should I trust that same government that couldn't protect me and my community during it? So there's a lot of hurt there and a lot of harm that needs to be redressed. So there's a need for more justice here.
So where do we go from here, especially since no matter what, the government will be involved with the COVID-19 vaccination rollout? How do we regain that trust for so many people?
Right. The way you regain trust is you fix the problems in the system. And some of those are tall orders, I know, but some rethink seems to be important here as we hopefully are coming out of a pandemic. And we know that there will be others in the future. The publics are hesitating and they are disrupting our vaccine rollout because they have strong concerns around things like industry influence and medical racism. So those need to be fixed. There's always been a case for fixing those problems, but now we have another reason to do it.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.